Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
The reaction Friday afternoon in the United States was immense, even though this was no surprise. This had been leaked by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court of the United States, it would seem, overturning the Roe versus Wade case. And what that essentially seems to mean is that each state has the authority now to decide on its own. Professor John Stemlau is an honorary international relations professor at Wits University. We wanted to try and understand what this is all about. There's been a tremendous amount, naturally, of emotion surrounding this, but surely we need to first start with the legal principles. On what basis did the Supreme Court overturn this ruling? Professor John Stemlau, good morning.
Good morning. On the basis of what they did it because they could. This is a form of state capture.
Okay, so that is really quite a big statement. That the state capture, are you saying that there's no legal basis for them to have done this?
The legal basis, as I understand it, and I'm not a lawyer, but I've followed this pretty closely, and it is to say the least debatable. You've had 50 years of Roe v. Wade, almost 50 years of Roe v. Wade being established law, constitutional law. And the rationale for doing that, and the Casey versus Planned Parenthood decision, which is complementary to protect women's rights, was deeply embedded in the body politic, and indeed today is overwhelmingly popular by all the polling data that I've seen across the country. And what you have seen is an empowered minority that gets special consideration politically because of the federal U.S. system, and it would take a reform of the Constitution to actually satisfy majoritarian rule with minority and human rights protections as we have in South Africa. I don't see that happening anytime soon. So the political battle will be for the Democrats to try to somehow overwhelm the Republican minority, but the court case in abortions and in the decision about gun carry in New York is a reminder that the extra political power that small rural states are given under the U.S. Constitution that affect the selection of the president and that affect the power of the Senate, which is the two senators per state, 50 states, that control the appointments of the judiciary, and the history of ramming through the appointments of the three Trump justices that gave the conservative minority a chance to overturn Roe v. Wade. This is hardball, politicized judiciary. It's very unfamiliar to South Africans who are accustomed to thinking of the Constitutional Court as above politics.
Well, this is what I've been trying to figure out. When the Constitutional Court rules here in South Africa, we get a sense of their rationale. We try and understand, and they seem to be obligated or to feel obligated to give their rationale, to present their rationale to the public. Has this been done in this case? I keep trying to find it, and I'm not seeing it. You see a lot of commentary around it, but you're not hearing much detail around the actual ruling.
Now that's because the Supreme Court in the United States has been highly politicized. It's always been political. And most judiciaries have to deal with the forces of politics. But don't forget, when Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman was here a couple of months ago, she said how jealous she was of the South African Constitution, which enshrines reproductive rights as a human right in the Constitution. When the founders in 1789 wrote the U.S. Constitution, it was a federal bargain. They tried to placate the minority states, the smaller states, and they did so. But they were more worried about majoritarian rule, authoritarianism through populism, than they were, although Hamilton was, Alexander Hamilton was very concerned about minoritarian rule by an empowered, super-empowered faction. And what you're seeing is the culmination of a 50-year struggle to overturn Roe v. Wade by a very conservative, and the only, I mean, it's just outrageous to me, the only woman who voted for overturning Roe v. Wade is Amy Coney Barrett, who was rammed through in 2 weeks at the end of the Trump administration.
I remember that, yeah.
And she's a devout a Catholic fundamentalist who believes that human life begins with conception and there should be no exceptions to abortion.
So what happens now? I mean, do we wait really for the Supreme Court for the balance to move again? Or
no, you watch the 2022 congressional elections. If the Republicans win, and after all, the public is really concerned about inflation right now, it's a very tricky moment. It's a crisis for the U.S. And I get very tired of people talking about the U.S. as a unitary state actor in the world because it's domestic politics. And this is what Putin is betting on. This is off point from your point about Roe v. Wade. But it's got to be elections. It's got to be elections that you've got to have a mobilized, women are half the population. A number of them are conservatives and not going to speak out against their husbands in Roe v. Wade issues, abortion issues. But there is an overwhelming majority that thinks Roe v. Wade is established law and should be respected. And somehow, among all the many issues that are on the table, the 2022 election and the 2024 presidential election are as important as any in my lifetime in the United States, probably here too, but that's another subject. But it can only be done through the ballot box.
It's really very, very frightening. How is it likely, or what is likely to happen now in terms of the individual states? Can we predict this?
Well, the individual states have already had trigger laws to impose abortion. We don't know whether or not there's going to be an effort to stop firms from allowing their employees and financing their travel to get abortions in abortion-friendly states. There's not going to be an end to abortion in New York and California, the most populous states in the country. And there will be throughout the former segregationist South and the small rural states of the Midwest and maybe into some of the far western smaller states. But it's terrible for poor women, for black women particularly that are trying to raise families under very dire economic circumstances. A woman ought to have the right control over her own body. These people who advocate and say, well, it's a matter of self-discipline and you just take care of yourself and we should provide for the children of these women who can't have abortions. Let's see the money. They're not going to appropriate the money. This is going to fall most heavily on women that are disadvantaged.
Little doubt. Some confusion, certainly on my side, if somebody lives in a state that has not legalized or has banned abortion, are they allowed to go to a state where abortion is legal?
Well, at the moment, yes, but that's going to be tested. And the right wing is quite emboldened by this decision. It may mobilize a Democratic opposition that has been pretty much concerned with, as everybody is, with inflation and Ukraine and other things. But this is just another issue that is on the table and may work to the Democrats' advantage. I don't know. But at the moment, it's going to be tested in the courts. It's going to be a tremendous distraction that we don't need right now, and we should be focusing on other issues like Ukraine and like climate change. But there you are. This is politics, and it's the worst kind of politics.
Absolutely right. Professor John Stremler, Honorary International Relations Professor at Wits University, giving us an update on the new U.S. abortion amendment Roe v. Wade.